Dads and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic.
Welcome back, Junior Scholars. My name is Sir Bradley Hassey, guardian of the written word and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission is to safeguard the wisdom in the classics and inspire children with a love of good reading. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and a very special thank you to my loyal listeners and supporters who tune in each and every episode. Today's episode is another tale from India called Why the Fish Laughed by Joseph Jacobs. But first, I want to tell you guys about the upcoming Junior Classics Christmas program we're going to do. We're going to have a story hour on December 21st at 6:30 p.m. This will be live streamed, but if you live locally, go to Cross Point Church at 6:30, and we're going to sing Christmas songs. I'm going to read some awesome classic Christmas stories. You can wear your Christmas pajamas, bring a blanket, pillow. We're going to have popcorn. It's going to be a great time for the whole family. And of course, don't forget to invite your friends. For more information, you can go to our Facebook or Instagram page or juniorclassicspodcast.com. Now, don't forget the new Junior Classics art project we started. After you listen to the story, or while you listen to the story, do an art project of your choosing based on what you liked from the story. And then ask your parents to take a picture of it and send it in. You can send it to our Facebook, Instagram, or email at juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com. I've already received a couple of them. One of them was from how the wind, moon, and sun went out to dinner. That one, I think I said that right. And I got a really cool picture from Emma. So Emma, if you're listening, thank you. Once I receive a bundle of them, I may do a video to display your artwork and talk about what I liked about it. So I'm looking forward to that. So send me your art projects. Okay, now it's time for
Lost and Found Words.
Listen carefully to these words and their meanings and try and spot them during the show. Our first word is vizier. A vizier is a high official in some Muslim countries, or said another way, a man with authority in the government. Our next word is a mouthful. It is indefatigably. Again, indefatigably. This is a person's ability to work without becoming tired easily. So in the story, there's a line that says, "For 5 months, he labored indefatigably to find a reason for the laughter of the fish." So this guy was working really hard without becoming tired. I challenge you to use this word in a sentence this week. And then our last two words are chupati and kulchas. These are two types of bread that are found in India. A chupati is a thin pancake of unleavened bread that's usually cooked on a griddle. So if bread's unleavened, that means it doesn't rise and become soft and doughy. A kulcha is a type of mildly leavened flatbread. So a kulcha is more like the bread that we have where it rises a little bit. Have you guys ever tried chupati or kulchas? Let me know. I have not. Now, on to the show.
Why the Fish Laughed by Joseph Jacobs.
As a certain fisherwoman passed by a palace crying her fish, the queen appeared at one of the windows and beckoned her to come near and show what she had. At that moment, a very big fish jumped about in the bottom of the basket.
"Is it a he or a she? I wish to purchase a she fish."
On hearing this, the fish laughed aloud.
"It's a he-fish,"
replied the fisherwoman, and proceeded on her rounds. The queen returned to her room in a great rage, and on coming to see her in the evening, the king noticed that something had disturbed her. Are you indisposed?
No, but I am very much annoyed at the strange behavior of a fish. A woman brought me one today, and on my inquiring whether it was a male or female, the fish laughed most rudely.
A fish laugh? Impossible. You must be dreaming.
I am not a fool. I speak of what I have seen with my own eyes and heard with my own ears.
Passing strange. Be it so. I will inquire concerning it.
On the morrow, the king repeated to his vizier what his wife had told him, and bade him investigate the matter, and be ready with a satisfactory answer within 6 months on pain of death. The vizier promised to do his best, though he felt almost certain of failure. For 5 months he labored indefatigably to find a reason for the laughter of the fish. He sought everywhere and from everyone, the wise and the learned, and they who were skilled in magic and in all manner of trickery were consulted. Nobody, however, could explain the matter, and so he returned brokenhearted to his house and began to arrange his affairs in prospect of certain death. For he had sufficient experience of the king to know that his majesty would not go back from his threat. Amongst other things, he advised his son to travel for a time until the king's anger should have somewhat cooled. The young fellow, who was both clever and handsome, started whithersoever kinsmen might lead him. He had been gone some days when he fell in with an old farmer, who was also on a journey to a certain village. Finding the old man very pleasant, he asked him if he might accompany him, professing to be on a visit to the same place. The old farmer agreed, and they walked along together. The day was hot, and the way was long and weary.
"Don't you think it would be pleasanter if you and I sometimes gave one another a lift?"
"What a fool the man is,"
thought the old farmer. Presently they passed through a field of corn ready for the sickle, and looking like a sea of gold as it waved to and fro in the breeze.
"Is this eaten or not?" said the young man.
Not understanding his meaning, the old man replied,
"I don't know."
After a little while, the two travelers arrived at a big village, where the young man gave his companion a clasp knife and said,
"Take this, friend, and get 2 horses with it, but mind in bringing it back, for it is very precious."
The old man, looking half amused and half angry, pushed back the knife, muttering something to the effect that his friend was either a fool himself or else trying to play the fool with him. The young man pretended not to notice his reply and remained almost silent till they reached the city, a short distance outside, which was the old farmer's house. They walked about the bazaar and went to the mosque, but nobody saluted them or invited them to come in and rest.
"What a large cemetery!"
"What does the man mean calling this largely populated city a cemetery?"
thought the farmer. On leaving the city, their way led through a cemetery where a few people were praying beside a grave and distributing chupatties and kulchas to passerbys in the name of their beloved dead. They beckoned to the two travelers and gave them as much as they would.
"What a splendid city this is," said the young man.
"Now the man must surely be demented. I wonder what he'll do next. He'll be calling the land water and the water land, and be speaking of light where there is darkness and darkness where it is light,"
thought the farmer. However, he kept his thoughts to himself. Presently, they had to wade through a stream that ran along the edge of the cemetery. The water was rather deep, so the old farmer took off his shoes and pajamas and crossed over. But the young man waded through it with his shoes and pajamas on.
"Well, I never did see such a perfect fool, both in word and in deed,"
said the old man to himself. However, he liked the fellow, and thinking that he would amuse his wife and daughter, he invited him to come and stay at his house as long as he had occasion to remain in the village.
Thank you very much. But let me first inquire, if you please, whether the beam of your house is strong. The old farmer left him in despair and entered his house laughing.
There's a man in yonder field. He has come the greater part of the way with me, and I wanted him to put up here as long as he had to stay in this village. But the fellow is such a fool that I cannot make anything out of him. He wants to know if the beam of this house is all right. The man must be mad.
And saying this, he burst into a fit of laughter.
Father, this man, whosoever he is no fool as you deem him. He only wishes to know if you can afford to entertain him.
Said the farmer's daughter, who was a very sharp and wise girl.
Oh, of course, I see. Well, perhaps you can help me to solve some of his other mysteries. While we were walking together, he asked whether he should carry me or I should carry him, as he thought that would be a pleasanter mode of proceeding.
Most assuredly. He meant that one of you should tell a story to beguile the time.
Oh, yes. Well, we were passing through a cornfield when he asked me whether it was eaten or not.
Didn't you know the meaning of this, Father? He simply wished to know if the man was in debt or not. Because if the owner of the field was in debt, then the produce of the field was as good as eaten to him. That is, it would have to go to his creditors.
Yes, 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 of course. Then, on entering a certain village, he bade me take his clasp knife and get 2 horses with it, and bring back the knife again to him.
Are not 2 stout sticks as good as 2 horses for helping one along the road? He only asked you to cut a couple of sticks and be careful not to lose his knife.
I see. While we were walking over the city, we did not see anybody that we knew. Not a soul gave us a scrap of anything to eat till we were passing the cemetery. There, some people called to us and put into our hands some chupatties and some colchas. So my companion called the city a cemetery and the cemetery a city.
This is also to be understood, Father. If one thinks of the city as the place where everything is to be obtained, and of inhospitable people as worse than the dead. The city, though crowded with people, was as if dead, as far as you were concerned, while in the cemetery, which is crowded with the dead, you were saluted by kind friends and provided with bread.
True, true. Then just now, when we were crossing the stream, you waded through it without taking off his shoes and pajamas.
I admire his wisdom. I've often thought how stupid people were to venture into that swiftly flowing stream and over those sharp stones with bare feet. The slightest stumble and they would fall and be wetted from head to foot. This friend of yours is a most wise man. I should like to see him and speak to him.
Very well. I'll go and find him and bring him in.
Tell him, Father, that our beams are strong enough and then he will come in. I'll send a present to the man to show him that we can afford to have him for our guest.
Accordingly, she called a servant and sent him to the young man with a present of a basin of ghee, 12 chupatties, and a jar of milk, and the following message.
O friend, the moon is full. 12 months make a year, and the sea is overflowing with water.
Halfway, the bearer of this present and message met his little son, who, seeing what was in the basket, begged his father to give him some of the food. His father foolishly complied. Presently, he saw the young man and gave him the rest of the present and the message.
Give your mistress my salam and tell her that the moon is new and that I can only find 11 months in the year and the sea is by no means full.
Not understanding the meaning of these words, the servant repeated them word for word, as he had heard them, to his mistress. And thus his theft was discovered, and he was severely punished. After a little while, the young man appeared with the old farmer. Great attention was shown to him, and he was treated in every way as if he were the son of a great man, although his humble host knew nothing of his origin. At length, he told them everything, about the laughing of the fish, his father's threatened execution, and his own banishment, and asked their advice as to what he should do.
The laughing of the fish, which seems to have been the cause of all this trouble, indicates that there is a man in the palace who's plotting against the king's life.
Joy, joy! There is yet time for me to return and save my father from an ignominious and unjust death, and the king from danger. The following day, he hastened back to his own country, taking with him the farmer's daughter. Immediately on arrival, he ran to the palace and informed his father of what he had heard. The poor vizier, now almost dead from the expectation of death, was at once carried to the king, to whom he repeated the news that his son had just brought.
"Never," said the king. "But it must be so, your majesty. And in order to prove the truth of what I have heard, I pray you call together all the maids in your palace and order them to jump over a pit which must be dug. We'll soon find out whether there is any man there."
The king had the pit dug and commanded all the maids belonging to the palace to try to jump it. All of them tried, but only one succeeded. That one was found to be a man. Thus was the queen satisfied, and the faithful old vizier saved. Afterward, as soon as could be, the vizier's son married the old farmer's daughter, and a most happy marriage it was. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that story. You know, usually I leave you with a lesson, but I'm going to do something else today. This week is exactly 1 year since I started the Junior Classics podcast, and what a year it has been. I hope I've inspired you guys to a love of good reading, that you've learned some new words, you've learned about some new places, that I've brought you stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. You know, it is my hope that all the young boys listening would grow up to be strong men, and all the young ladies and girls would grow up to be caring and nurturing women when they grow up. I want to give an extra special thank you to my loyal listeners who really do tune in each and every episode to listen, as well as my supporters on Patreon who have supported this show financially and allow me to continue to create it. So if you guys love this, you want some more of it, please consider being a Patreon supporter. Please don't forget our Junior Classics Christmas Story Hour, which again will be December 21st at 6:30 p.m. at Cross Point Church if you're local. And if not, you can tune in for the live stream. There'll be more information about that on Facebook, Instagram, and or juniorclassicspodcast.com. Guys, Merry Christmas to you. Have a Happy New Year. And I'm probably going to take a break until the next year rolls around. So I'll see you in 2021. 2020 was a good year for me and my family, and I hope the same to you. As always, I am Sir Bradley Hasse. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth. Merry Christmas.
Now for you parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history, and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten, so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email
to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening to the Junior Classics.